Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. This is Jill. I know it's been a little bit, but thank you for being patient with me during all this. And now that we're, a week or two away from training camp, we're getting things back going again. And so I know a lot of pods right now are talking about roster construction and competition at training camp. I figured this weekend, since there was a new list of coaches that had come out since I had last done a pod, that I would do my last one on one of the new coaches that are here as an assistant. And then next week we'll get into the training camp talk, and I'm going to have a fan round table and really get into the nitty gritty. But I did want to highlight this guy because it was someone that I talked about during the Will Hardy podcast. And then if you followed me on Twitter, you saw me talk about it on there as well. But Dutch Gately was one that I had hoped that they would go after once Brego was let go. He was on my list out there. I know that some of you saw to grab as an assistant. So I'm extremely excited that he's here. And, I'll tell you a little bit about him and his background. But someone who has that, again, why so many people liked Will and having that Spurs background, Dutch has that. And he also has some continuity with Jay Triano from being with him the last couple of years. So without further ado, let's get into Dutch Gately. So he has been hired as the assistant coach and director of player development. He played college basketball at Temple, so another former player. And something interesting about him is he grew up around the game. So his mom is a D1 women's basketball coach. She has over 500 wins. She's in the Villanova Hall of Fame. And he says that she's the player and coach of the family. And he's just trying to follow in her footsteps. So that's pretty cool. Having your mom be, what introduces you to basketball. So something interesting is his dad was actually her assistant. He has a younger brother who works for the Miami Heat as an intern. And then he has another brother playing college basketball. So he says his earliest basketball memory was while he was with his mom and their team, and they had made it to the conference championship game. And so that team decided to, he was 6 or 7, he said, and they decided to shave the school logo on the back of his head as, a fun thing to do before the game. But what stands out to him is he went to school the next day and he says the nun at school didn't like it and sent him home. So that's obviously a vivid memory for him. And I mean, that's such a stupid reason to send a kid home. I mean, come on. But still a pretty funny story. So he said his family dinners were a little bit different from, the traditional family is his family dinners were spent on the couch watching game film. And you'll can kind of see why that will be a full circle moment shortly. So he said after he was done playing with Temple and he got his master's, he said he had the opportunity to go into the women's college game, but he wanted to let his mom have her thing. And so he wanted to give the going into the men's side of college game and giving that a go. That was his dream growing up. And interesting enough, there were no jobs available. So he said he decided to send resumes to some NBA organizations. He ended up getting an interview with Orlando Magic for their video room, but he was turned down. So I think you'll end up seeing that him being turned down there ended up being the best thing, that happened to him looking back on it. And so he ended up taking the job at Lehigh University as a volunteer in their video room. And he said that having spent that year there, he was sold on that's what he wanted to do. He was an unpaid volunteer. And so he was away from home. And so he said it taught him, you know, everything about hard work and the dedication and sacrifice, you know, of what you have to give up in order if this is what he ends up wanting to do. And I would say that it worked out because in 2013, he was hired as the video room intern with the Spurs, and they ended up winning a championship that season and the next while he was there. He said he knew that all the hours were worth it during the playoff prep when one of the players said that he knew a player was going to be going right because of the film that he broke down. So he said, you know, that's every video coordinator's dream is to have, you know, a player saying that to you or a coach and having it be, you know, impactful in that kind of game situation. So that was pretty cool. The next season, he was promoted to the assistant video coordinator. And he said that, you know, what Pop told them when it comes to video coordinators, or at least how Spurs, you know, hold that job title. And as, you know, in previous podcasts, you've heard me of the countless coaches that have come out of the video room. You can kind of see why. So he says that Pop says that the video room guys are the lifeblood of the organization. You're getting your master's in basketball. They look for former players who want to get into coaching and can still get on the court. They are kind of a jack of all trades job that people might not realize. He said he did everything from assisting the assistants, assisting Pop. Some days they're out rebounding. Other days they're playing shadow defenders. He said they're running out there on the court with towels, you know, in their shorts to clean up the water off the court after guys fall. He said if someone's, you know, something happens and, you know, an assistant gets held up for some reason that day, you can go pick up coach's kids. Basically, he said any kind of help that's needed on any given day, all while learning from the coaches every day and watching countless hours of film. So again, I think that's kind of interesting. He says, you also know if you listen to the Will Hardy breakdown, you'll remember how I said that Will credited assistant coaches above him as helping him promote from the video room to an assistant coach. Well, Will goes on to mention that Dutch was one that he wanted to pay it forward with and, you know, to help him do the same thing with them. Well, what happened? Dutch was promoted from the video room to an assistant coach in 2015, and then he was there until 17-18 season. So again, you see that, you know, people not being threatened. It's everyone helping each other. That culture of I want you all to succeed, whether it be here or somewhere else. I really love that of what that part of the organization does. He mentioned that going into the Spurs organization is like going into a library trying to grab every single book, but never having the time to read them. He said that Pop and everyone was throwing out terms. He had no idea what was going on. Being comfortable admitting I didn't know what I thought I did, then learning and being comfortable talking and asking questions. Well, why are you doing it this way? A lot of people talk about assistant coaches and that you don't want yes men. You don't want to just be there to build a head coach's ego. He said Pop showed that building confidence in themselves by watching film, working with players, putting them, you know, kind of in every situation, you're helping them create their own identity as a coach and to feel comfortable saying to someone above you or a coach, I know you're doing it this way, but can you explain why we are actually doing it this way? So he was continually pushing head coaches and assistants, and that was the hardest part about leaving San Antonio. He goes on to tell a story about how, you know, what he's tried to do this as well. And that what he learned from Pop was that, you know, you can be in a video room and just, you know, reaming into guys from a game the night before. But then you get out on the court and he's out there stretching with guys, sitting with them, asking about, you know, their wife or their kids. Like he makes sure that he knows what's going on in these guys' lives so that there is that trust factor, you know, but between both parties, and that they feel that leads to success on the court. So he said that's something he's tried to implement as well. And so he said that was one of the hardest parts about leaving San Antonio. But when James Borrego was hired to coach the Charlotte Hornets, who did James bring with him? He brought Dutch with him. And so he said that going there was also a huge part of his growth as a coach, leaving what he called the San Antonio nest and working with a whole new set of people and ideas. And that it just pushes you outside that comfort zone. So, we had mentioned Jay Toronto had worked on offense there. Something that Dutch worked on was defense. So there happened to be a New York Times article where in 2021, and it was about, Charlotte being like the next big thing. And so they followed the team around, Borrego around, and they, broke down their days worth of grind, essentially, between players and coaches. And something that stuck with me was that there's a tidbit about how Dutch was playing 3-on-3, 4-on-4 with guys and working with them on getting shots up. So what it says is the moment afforded Gately a chance to connect with the players. He's the son of Stephanie Gately, the women's basketball coach currently at Fordham University. As a child, he often accompanied her on recruiting visits. Occasionally, she handed him a binder that listed tidbits about the recruit, and he'd quiz her on the drive about the name of the recruiter's boyfriend or her favorite movie. His mother's attention to detail stayed with him. We don't recruit at our level, but you are still showing the guys that you care every single day. Because if you don't build a personal relationship with them, then it's going to be hard to coach them hard. And so, you hear that quote from him at that time with the Hornets and learning that kind of from his mom. And then you've also heard him say it again about Pop, and that if you want to be able to coach them hard, you have to build that personal relationship with them. And it goes into part of like what Sam Cassell said, I'm only yelling at you because I care about you. You should be worried if I'm not yelling at you and I'm not saying anything to you, because that means that you've stopped caring. So again, it's, as we hear with a lot of these coaches, it's about relationships, not just, the X's and O's. And so another part that caught my eye was actually about Jay Triano. And he mentioned that during practice that you want to give them two or three things that they're going to be able to remember and translate. He said in his previous stops, Triano would list the team's principles on the whiteboard with an addendum stating that any player who read the board can come into his office and collect $50. He said few ever did. Read the board, guys. That's the easiest $50 you're ever going to make. And then something that I thought was pretty cute with Dutch is that he mentioned that he had a fiance at the time of this article. They're now married. But that, with all the work that he does, with this part of his game, and that, she's so supportive and all this stuff. He makes sure that he watches The Real Housewives so that he can connect with her and be able to answer any questions, if he's on the road and they're having their conversations, that there's still something that they can connect with. And I thought that was pretty cute. And as someone who, guilty pleasure watches The Housewives, I loved that about him. So that's just a little piece about Dutch. Hopefully you learned a little bit and you have some appreciation for, someone who's probably going to be towards the end of the bench. But it's exciting, and he's another guy that, came from the Spurs that, was part of Borrego's, tasked with helping develop these young players. And so we saw a lot of Mike Brown's hires are, you know, guys that have had that experience and, you know, developing and getting the most out of their team. So it's exciting. We have training camp, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, coming up in a week. That's very exciting. We're starting to see some of the last contracts coming through. So just last week, we finally saw the Ogpala contract be signed. I think Quinn Cook is still awaiting signature and Kent Bazemore. So I'm excited about the competition that's going to take place. If you listened at this time last year and heard me and Damian talking while he was still on the show, you know, I was saying that, you know, I liked that we had young guys developing, but in the same sense, when you're trying to make the playoffs, if something goes wrong, having to rely on Ramsey and Woodard to be, you know, your fall guys, that's not a recipe for success. That you need a little bit more talent from that at the end of the bench, based on injuries and things, you know, and COVID that we had seen, you know, take place. And so I do think that Monty's done a much better job this season, that essentially everyone that's fighting for those last roster spots has experience in the NBA. And so, you know, yes, you can say some up and down stuff, except maybe Moneki, but he has experience and, you know, he just won MVP of his league in Europe. And you hear nothing but good things about him and how, you know, Mike Brown loves him. But, you know, he's going to have to earn, you know, that spot if he wants it. I'm really curious to see if they're going to go for that third point guard spot, or if they might, you know, maybe decide to keep a Moneki and an Ogpala, and then, you know, address a third point guard if the situation ever comes up, or if they would use, you know, a Monk and a Herder, because we saw Atlanta have to do that. I will say, watching Atlanta the last couple of years, there were times when Herder had to play a backup role there because of injuries. And so, yeah, I do think there's a lot of ways that you can mix and match this with shooting and defense and length and different things like that. But man, the guys like, you know, Ogpala, like those are the ones that I would want to, even if they didn't work out, those are the kind of players that I would want to see them take a chance on, just because of knowing how important defense and the small forward position is in this league. And I know that, you know, there's always a conversation of if he's a small forward, power forward, but going back to college, he played both. And so he's mobile enough to do it, and he can guard multiple positions. So I do think it's possible. It's just, you'd have to work on that offensive, you know, side of it, which he's not the first person that's ever had, you know, had to go through that in the NBA. So again, it's going to be interesting. We'll talk about more about this next week, and we're going to have the fan roundtable. But lastly, I know that fantasy is coming up for a lot of people, and I, you know, for basketball, I know football is underway, but I play basketball for fantasy as well, and in a dynasty league. But I do want to make sure that I shout this out, that it is September and draft season is right around the corner. And that's huge at Sports Ethos. It's also really the only time of year we kind of, you know, sell anything at the host site there. And not only will it help you win your fantasy league, but it's also critical for our, you know, growth and, you know, us as a organization. So please take the time and go head to sportsethos.com. Click on the premium tab to grab a premium subscription or draft guide today. And yes, answer your question, which I'm sure some of you know if you've done this before, the Brewski 150 is included in both options. So make sure you check back daily for more features. And again, it can help you go dominate your leagues, win you some money, But again, go to sportsethos.com and look under the premium tab. So thank you again, guys. And I will see you back next week. Go Kings.